హరే కృష్ణ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 2 చాప్టర్ 7 చాప్టర్ ఎంటైటిల్డ్ షెడ్యూల్డ్ ఇన్కార్నేషన్స్ టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 23. అస్మత్ ప్రసాద సుముఖ కలయా కలేశ ఇక్ష్వాకు వంశ అవతీర్య గురోర్ నిదేశే తిష్టన్ వనం సదైతానుజ ఆవివేశ యస్మిన్ విరుధ్య దశకందర ఆర్తి మార్చ. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై శ్రీ వాన్ గ్రేస్ శ్లేసి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. Due to his causeless mercy upon all living entities within the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his plenary expansions, appeared in the family of Maharaj Ikshvaku as the lord of his internal potency, Sita. Under the order of his father, Maharaj Dasharath, he entered the forest and lived there for considerable years with his wife and younger brother. Ravana, who was very materially powerful, with 10 heads on his shoulders, committed a great offense against him and was thus ultimately vanquished. Purport, we'll continue from yesterday. Lord Ramchandra was ordered by his father, Maharaj Dasharath, to leave home for the forest under awkward circumstances. And the Lord, as the ideal son of his father, carried out the order even on the occasion of his being declared the king of Ayodhya. One of his younger brothers, Lakshmanji, desired to go with him, and also his eternal wife, Sitaji, desired to go with him. The Lord agreed to both of them, and all together they entered the Dandakaranya forest to live there for 14 years. During their stay in the forest, there was some quarrel between Ramchandra and Ravan, and the latter kidnapped the Lord's wife, Sita. The quarrel ended in the vanquishing of the greatly powerful Ravana, along with all his kingdom and family. Sita is Lakshmiji, or the goddess of fortune, but she is never to be enjoyed by any living being. She is meant for being worshipped by the living being along with her husband, Sri Ramachandra. A materialistic man like Ravana does not understand this great truth. But on the contrary, he wants to snatch Sita Devi from the custody of Ram and thus incurs great miseries. The materialists who are after opulence and material prosperity may take lessons from the Ramayana that the policy of exploiting the nature of the Lord without acknowledging the supremacy of the Supreme Lord is the policy of Ravan. Ravan was very advanced materially, so much so that he turned his kingdom Lanka into pure gold or full of material wealth. But because he did not recognize the supremacy of Lord Ramchandra and defied him by stealing his wife, Sita, Ravana was killed and all his opulence and power was destroyed. Lord Ramchandra is a full incarnation with six opulences in full and is therefore mentioned in this verse as Kalesha or master of all opulence. ఉమజ్ఞాన తిమిరందస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయ చక్షురున్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురువే నమః. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలాం పంగుం లంగయతే గిరిం యత్కృపా తమహం వందే శ్రీ గురు దీనతారిణం పరమానంద మాధవం శ్రీ చైతన్యం ఈశ్వరం. నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నితి నామినే. నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే. వాంఛా కల్పతరూభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ్ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. విల్ కంటిన్యూ అవర్ డిస్కషన్ ఆన్ ది రామాయణ ఫ్రమ్ వేర్ వి స్టాప్డ్ యెస్టర్డే. జస్ట్ టు సమ్మరైజ్, వి వర్ డిస్కసింగ్ యెస్టర్డే ఆన్ ది గ్లోరీస్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ రామాయణ, అండ్ వి స్పోక్ అబౌట్, వి బిగాన్ విత్ వన్ స్టోరీ ఆఫ్ వన్ మ్యాన్ ఫ్రమ్ అమెరికా, శామ్ మ్యాక్స్వెల్, హూ వెంట్ టు ఇండియా అండ్ వాజ్ ఓవర్వెల్మ్డ్ వెన్ హీ హర్డ్ రామాయణ. అండ్ దెన్ వెన్ హీ కేమ్ 30 ఇయర్స్ లేటర్, He saw the same old man, the same man at the grocery store and the child, and he saw the same Ramayana atmosphere, but on closer inspection he realized that the things had changed, and it was not the old man then, now he had already died, and the young man then was now the old man. And we discussed this whole pastime to understand how there is an eternal basis for Ramayana, in the sense, even after generations, people are continuing the same tradition of reading the same Ramayana with the same melody. And we concluded how when we enter this realm or this dimension of spiritual transcendence, and when we read Ramayana and hear Ramayana and Bhagavatam, we feel a deep connection with the Lord, and that fills our heart with spiritual richness. And after this we discussed some of the general knowledge things that are there in Ramayana which can attract a new person to Vedic culture and to Krishna consciousness. We spoke how while presenting Krishna consciousness we can convince people how Ramayana talks about things like how a Saras crane bird mates with the male, and how what is her loyalty and chastity to her male partner was revealed by Valmiki Muni thousands and actually millions of years ago, even before the modern zoologists confirmed it. And we also discussed the lifestyle and the culture that was prevalent in Ukraine and Russia millions of years ago was confirmed by Valmiki in his writings, although there was no internet or no means of transport during that period. And then after we discussed all the general knowledge things from Ramayana, we also concluded by discussing how nowadays the Ramayana has been misrepresented by Indologists and historians who are making a caricature of Ram. So I spoke about how there is a very famous television serial in India, there was, which was glorifying Ravan. It was a series on the glories of Ravan. And we also discussed how I spoke my own examples of how I went to Chitrakoot and I saw some of highly educated people taking shelter of Ramayana, they retired from their family life and now pursuing the culture of Ramayana and worshipping Bharat, Ram, Sita. So we discussed how Ramayana is glorious and how in modern times, notwithstanding the modern criticism of Ramayana, we need to preserve the culture of Ramayana and we need to spread the glories of Ramayana in a very, very assertive way. And then we concluded by raising this most controversial question which the modern Indologists and historians present, that Ram was a chauvinist and Ramayana speaks about male dominance and Ramayana is culturally unacceptable now because Ram in an unjust act banished Mother Sita to the forest. So we decided to take it up today and tomorrow and this particular issue. So many educated Indians today are confused about the character of Lord Ram. And one of the most common challenges I've heard during my presentations on Ramayana is that Ram was a very selfish person and he was more interested in his own reputation than to protect his chaste wife Sita. And the proof they give for making this claim is how he heard a washerman disown his wife when she stayed with another man one night. And the washerman accused his wife and he made a declaration that I am not like that coward Ram who is infatuated, who is attached and who would accept a wife even after she stayed with another man. So therefore the argument is Ramayana teaches us values that are outdated and it's inhuman. So now before we establish the principle of why Ram did what he did then, there are three reasons that I want to present. But I strongly feel that before we discuss the arguments on why Lord Ram sent Mother Sita away, as devotees, I see all devotees sitting here, we need to know the spirit of Ramayana. We need to first establish that Lord Ram was a selfless personality. His character was spotless. We need to establish how he loved Mother Sita very dearly. And then we also need to establish how Lord Ram was extremely soft-hearted. So, without establishing how Ram was selfless, how he was soft-hearted, and how he loved Sita, we cannot debate this topic. I would always refuse to discuss with another person when they would argue about Ram's character, because I would say that if you say Lord Ram banished Sita, then you also need to hear the other things that Ram did. And then when you hear the whole context, then you understand what Lord Ram did. Otherwise, it's called as Ardha Kukuta Nyaya. Ardha Kukuta Nyaya means half hen philosophy. Just take what suits you. The hen was laying golden eggs, and the man thought, oh, the hen is eating so much grass, so much fodder, so let me kill the first half of the hen so that I can only get the golden eggs. That doesn't happen. You need both. You need to accept both. Similarly, when we are talking about Lord Ram or Lord Krishna, we need to accept the whole personality. Like sometimes people accuse us while preaching that, oh, you worship Krishna. Krishna danced with 16,000 gopis. He danced with other women at the dead of the night. So he's your God. So I tell them, the same Krishna killed a great demoness who was 8 miles long when he was 3 months old. And he lifted a huge mountain with his pinky finger when he was just 7 years old. And when I start telling all these pastimes about Aghasur, Bagasur, I feel very happy because I get a chance to remember Krishna. And I just speak these pastimes and immediately this person cuts me. He says, oh no, you believe all this? And I say, if you don't believe this, then why are you discussing about Krishna dancing with the gopis? How come you believe that? So when people accuse us or challenge Krishna or Ram's pastimes, that's a great opportunity for us to glorify Ram and speak all the other pastimes. This is the standard strategy of a preacher. And then, the point I'm saying is the principle of debate is never take one incident in isolation. See the overall big picture and present that. See, the point is, you can't be an atheist and denounce God's pastimes also. If you're an atheist, then our argument with that person is to first establish God's existence. And then once a person accepts God, then we can discuss God's pastimes. And within that, we can address this issue. So if Ram, first of all, we need to understand how Ram fought a huge war. All of you know this. And if he was infatuated or selfish, if he was selfish, he certainly wouldn't have sent Mother Sita away because he really loved Mother Sita. So if he was selfish, he would have kept her with him in the kingdom of Ayodhya. In fact, in the Ramayana, which is spanning over 24,000 verses, you will find Ram's fondness and affection for his wife Sita described in amazing detail. In fact, when Sita was kidnapped, Ram's lamentation, the way he was crying, he was inconsolable. It's heart-wrenching. He was as devoted to her as was she. When we read the Uttarakhand of Ramayana, which is the place where we find this description, we see that the Ram's description is given. He's talking to Lakshman, and he's extremely forlorn and is devastated at the prospect of losing Mother Sita. So he's telling Lakshman that, I will know no peace. I will have no happiness now. Now when I banish, he doesn't say banish. He says when Sita would go to Valmiki's ashram, I will be devastated. And so acute was his pain of separation from his wife that he refused to remarry. Now again, I'm going back to the premise, original premise. We are today, first, what are we doing? We are first establishing how Ram loved Mother Sita and how he was selfless and how he had a soft heart. So once we establish this point, then we can discuss on that particular issue. So, the whole pastime is Sita and Ram are walking in the palace gardens. And she is telling him that, my dear Lord, and she was pregnant that time. And Lord Ram was very happy. He had heard this news. So he asked her while walking in the garden that, I would like to fulfill any of your desire. Do you have any desire? So she says that, I would like to visit Valmiki Muni's ashram. And then Ram says, done. Very soon you will go there. And then something happens. After she goes back to her palace, then Lord Ram meets his ministers, and an interesting discussion happens then. We'll go into the discussion a little later, but we need to know that Lord Ram, although he sent Mother Sita to Valmiki Muni's ashram, and he was living without her, he could have always remarried if he actually didn't love her. That is a very, very important point, because during that time, it was a common tradition for kings to have more than one wife. In fact, you know Ram's father, how many wives he had? Anybody knows? 350. More than 350. But we hear about Kaushalya, Sumitra and Kaikeyi, the three principal queens. But he had more than 350. And it's interesting. Ram's father has 350 wives. Ram has only one. Doesn't this prove that he loved her? Now, why? Now you may wonder why Dasharatha Maharaj had 350 wives. Anybody knows what is the reason? That is because during that time, Parashuram was on a rampage. He was on a mission to kill and destroy all the Kshatriyas. So he would go to a kingdom and he would confront a Kshatriya and he would kill him in battle. But Parashuram had made a vow that I wouldn't attack a Kshatriya king if he was either getting married or if he was in the private chambers with his wife. So Dasharatha Maharaj had his team ready at the outskirts of Ayodhya to send signals if Parashuram was entering the city. And as soon as he would get the message that Parashuram is entered, Dasharatha would immediately start performing a marriage ceremony. And then Parashuram would enter, oh, you're getting married, then he would leave. And then maybe after some more months he would come. But again when he would come, Dasharatha would be ready with another marriage. So like this he had 350 plus wives. And Lord Ram on the other hand, after Mother Sita went back to her mother Earth, after she left, he lived and ruled for the next 10,000 years without a wife. And was only crying, remembering her. Isn't this sufficient proof that he loved her? In fact, he had a golden statue made of Mother Sita. And in all the Yajna Anushthan, all the sacrifices, he would keep this golden deity of Sita. So the point I'm saying is, Lord Ram cried and suffered in separation from his dear Sita. Now, it's ironical, and in fact, it's a paradox. You know, Ramayana reveals Ram, you know how? As a very sensitive and emotional person who deeply loved his wife. And it is exactly a stark contrast to what is made of him by the modern Indologists, modern historians, you know. If you see the descriptions of Ram, like Valmiki Rishi has devoted 4 chapters exclusively to describe how Ram was feeling separation from Mother Sita. In fact, in the Aranyakanda is the section where where Ravan kidnaps Mother Sita. So in that Aranyakanda, there are chapters 60, 61, 62 and 63, 4 chapters. And read this and then you will realize, my God, he's crying like a madman. Later on in the Kishkindha Kanda where Ram meets Sugriva and Hanuman. So in that there is chapter 27 where Ram and Lakshman are at the Parshvana mountain. And this is a very beautiful mountain and this is a Chaturmas, rainy season. Now just like in the West I see that the spring season is the season of, you know, love and excitement and happiness. In India it's generally the autumn, the rainy season, because after a lot of summer, when the rains start coming, people become very happy. There is everywhere greenery. So Ram, in that rainy season, he starts seeing everywhere. He is and what happens? He sees beautiful flowers blooming and he starts seeing that everything is becoming green. Immediately he starts remembering Sita. And he starts remembering the earlier time that he spent with her with affection and love. And he becomes so inconsolable that he gets depressed. I repeat, he gets depressed. And then Lakshman starts encouraging him. That whole chapter is a great chapter on self-help techniques, you know, on how to counsel and how to advise. Lakshman starts encouraging Ram. He says, my dear brother, if you lament, lamentation takes you away from the goal. Don't lament now. Now be focused on the goal. We have to get Mother Sita. So he is anguishing at his loss. So he is breaking down. And Lakshman tells him, give up despondency. Come on, do your duty. And Ram's soft-hearted nature comes in his loving reciprocation with so many devotees. The way he deals with Lakshman, you know what he tells Lakshman repeatedly? He gives the position of his father to Lakshman. He says, you are like my father. So many times, the way he has dealt with the Jatayu, he says, I am feeling as much pain, he's telling Jatayu, seeing you in this condition, I am feeling as much pain as I was feeling at the loss of Sita. He gives so much respect to Jatayu. He did not even perform final rites for his father, but he does that to Jatayu. Hanuman, Ram's exchanges with Hanuman, Sugriva, Guha. Guha was from a lower caste. Shabari was from a lower caste. The way Ram dealt with them, it clearly proves that Ram was soft-hearted. So, there are two misconceptions which we want to remove. One is, Ram didn't love Sita. You know, first is, Ram loved Sita. And second, Ram was very hard-hearted and cruel. No, Ram was extremely soft-hearted. Therefore, the basic premise of these debaters that Ram is a chauvinist and Raman is a product of a culture that breeds on macho, bigotry and things like that, that's wrong. Ram's attitude was exemplary. He was noble-hearted, affectionate and a selfless leader. And because he was wonderful, filled with so many wonderful qualities, he was willing to give up his own pleasures just to follow the path of righteousness. See, generally when people tell me that, you know, the fact that Ram sent Mother Sita away proves that he didn't love her, I reverse the argument. I say, let's establish how he loved her and then see how and why, despite loving her so much, he sent her away. You see, there's a difference between the two approaches. So, this is the way we present. And if you see, in the way after they leave Chitrakoot, this is a very interesting pastime which shows Ram's soft-hearted nature and his affection for Sita. When Ram, Lakshman and Sita were leaving Chitrakoot to go to Dandakaranya. Now, do you know why they left Chitrakoot? They were first staying at Chitrakoot and one day Ram saw that the sages are talking amongst themselves. Hare Krishna. Ram saw that the sages are whispering, talking with each other and they are looking at Ram, Lakshman and they have some doubts. So Ram went up to them and said, my dear sages, have I offended you in some way? Has my brother Lakshman been disrespectful to all of you? Or has my wife Sita, has she behaved inappropriately that you are feeling so, you are looking a little nervous and you are hesitant to speak and open your hearts to me? Immediately the sages, the representative of the sages, the leader, he says, no, no, Ram, how can there be any fault in you? And your wife, she's so chaste, she's flawless, and Lakshman is such a wonderful soul. No, no, there are no faults in you, you have not behaved wrongly. It is just that we are scared and we are living in fear of the Rakshasas. So we want you to help us. So Ram, feeling great compassion for the sages, he tells them that, I will now leave Chitrakoot. Chitrakoot was such a nice place. They were so happy there. There were no Rakshasas and it was so close to Ayodhya. They could have just lived there forever. But Ram makes a sacrifice. He tells Lakshman and Sita that we should leave this place and we should go southward so that we can confront the Rakshasas and help the sages. So when they come down, what happens is very interesting. They meet one Rakshasa, one huge demon, who is 10 times the height of Ram and Lakshman. His name is Viradha. He is tall and he has a ferocious form and he has a spear on which he had lanced 4 tigers, 5 lions, half a dozen jackals and some other animals. And when he sees Ram, Lakshman and Sita, you know what he does? First thing, he's a huge man. He has a spear in one hand. And with the other hand, immediately grabs Mother Sita first. And he picks her up and he has Sita in one hand and his spear on the other. And he looks at Ram and Lakshman and he shouts. He says, you both are hypocrites. You are dressed as renunciant ascetics. But your demeanor shows that you are powerful kshatriyas and warriors. So why are you dressed like ascetics? You are hypocrites. I will kill you. Now you would think Ram is a chivalrous hero who is ready to fight the Rakshasas, right? That's what we would imagine. That's what Ramayana portrays. Here is Ram seeing Viradha, Rakshasa. But what happens to Ram? He falls unconscious. And then he wakes up and he starts crying piteously because he is not able to bear the thought of Sita in the hands of this Rakshasa. And then Lakshman starts consoling Ram, saying that when you have a brother like me, why do you cry? See, this is what I'm saying. This is another example of how, you know, Ramayana shows Ram as a very tender-hearted, very soft-hearted person who loved his wife so much. And then even then Ram is inconsolable. When does Ram get angry? When does Ram actually fight the Rakshasa? When Virada says that I am now going to assume a handsome form and I am going to enjoy this woman and I spare both of your lives, you can go away. So when Ram hears this plan of the Rakshasa, Ram gets angry and then he picks up his bow and then he starts shooting arrows. And Virada's whole body is filled with arrows, but he doesn't die because he has got a special blessing from Brahma that he won't die. So then he drops Sita and he grabs Ram and Lakshman. And then Ram and Lakshman with their swords, they cut off his arms. And then he falls on the ground and he starts laughing hysterically. He says, you can't kill me. So then Ram orders, see, look at the presence of mind of Ram. He's so fast, so sharp, so intelligent. He tells Lakshman, Lakshman, quickly dig a pit. We'll bury this Rakshasa. And then Ram kicks Virada and holds his feet on his neck. They won't allow him to move. Jai Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Jai. Throw upar kar dam. Jai Shri Shada Gokulanand ki. Jai Gaur Nitai ki. Jai. So he doesn't allow Virada to move. And Virada falls unconscious. And Virada comes back to consciousness. He tells Ram that, my dear Ram, I cannot be killed. I cannot be killed because I've got this boon. And then he says, you can bury me in the pit, but I'm grateful to you because I have been cursed by Kuvera, my master. I was a Gandharva Tumburu. And he had told me that I will be delivered when Ram and Lakshman come here. So I'm very grateful to you. And as soon as Ram learns that this is not an ordinary Rakshasa, this is actually a servant of Kuvera, Ram becomes respectful to him. Immediately, Ram says, please guide us. Where should we go now? So then, Virada says, just like I have been desperate. Now this is amazing, huh? The way Ram is crying. When I read this first time, I was amazed that Ram is crying so much. And I presented this pastime to my spiritual master. I told him when we were walking in the ashram, I said, Ram is crying so much in the Ramayana. And because that was Ram Navami going on, and our Guru Maharaj was giving class on Ramayana. So I asked him that, Maharaj, even I was reading about Ramayana and I saw in Virada's pastime, Ram is crying so much. And it was so strange because I never heard about Ram crying like this. So then Guru Maharaj started laughing loudly. He said, yes, Ramayana removes this misconception. In fact, then he said, you know, there are anyway misconceptions in this world. He said, there are two biggest misconceptions I have seen in my travels. Is that men don't cry and women can't manage. He said, this has been smashed repeatedly, but still we cling on to this belief. And then he started laughing. He said, men cry. And that's what this Virada's pastime shows. In fact, in the Ramayana, as I told you, these four chapters, it's only Ram crying. You tell me how many chapters have you read where Krishna is crying? In separation from the gopis or... In fact, he makes others cry. Krishna is expert in making others cry, but Ram is crying. Isn't it amazing? Which other incarnation? Okay, let's forget Krishna. Which other incarnation? Have you seen Parashuram crying? No other incarnation cries. In the sense, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming to that. That is the last reason we'll discuss. Lord Chaitanya crying. That is in the mood of separation. That's what Lord Ram is feeling. Intense mood of separation. I remember when I was a teenager, in India, cricket is very popular. So there was a very famous championship trophy, which is a basis on which they select the Indian team, cricket team. So the finals of that match, tournament, I had gone to watch. And the host team, the Mumbai team, it was their 60th anniversary of their club being formed. So they were desperate to win the finals. And in the final match, they were playing against another state, Haryana. And Haryana, it was a last close, it was a cliffhanger. And the Mumbai captain was batting and he was desperate to see that his team wins. And just at the last minute, you know, it was such a close match and they lost. And when they lost, the Mumbai captain became inconsolable. He was crying like a baby. And it became such a big news. So many people are making fun of him. Some people are defending him. Some people are criticizing him. But it was a strange sight. Throughout the match, he was like desperate to win. So the point is, yes, you know, vulnerability is actually, everyone is vulnerable. And a mourning is one of the human needs. Crying is one of the, it's part of your psychophysical makeup, isn't it? And even as we get older in Krishna consciousness, you know, vulnerable, yesterday only I was discussing with some brahmachari, we were discussing how when we read about or hear about other devotees' struggles and how vulnerable they are, it's endearing to the heart, isn't it? Now, when we are new, we want to hear, Hari Bol, how I became a devotee, Gangho, Hari Bol, Jai. But as we get older, we want to hear how this person stayed in bhakti. You know, how he went through his struggles and how his faith in Krishna is still strong. So Ram's vulnerability here is very endearing to the heart. You know, the way he is feeling helpless, the way he is feeling intense love for Mother Sita. And then you should read the section where Ram is running back after killing Maricha. Now, you know, Maricha pastime everybody knows. Yesterday I was mentioning how in India, you know, nobody hears Ramayana for the first time. Everybody knows Ramayana, something about Ramayana. So Maricha pastime is when he had assumed the shape of a golden deer and then Ram kills him after chasing him for more than an hour. And when Maricha dies, he assumes his original form and he shouts in imitating Ram's voice. He says, Lakshman, help me, Sita. So Ram realizes, oh, and Rakshasa's voice is much louder and it can go for miles. So Ram realizes that this Rakshasa, this is a plot. This is a plot. So Ram gets panicky. He starts worrying about Sita's safety and he starts running back to Panchavati. So when he's running back, meanwhile, you know what had happened in Panchavati? At Panchavati, what had happened? Sita heard that voice. She immediately said, Lakshman, do you hear that? My lord is in danger. Quickly go and protect him. And what was Lakshman's reaction? He just stood still. He said, oh, nothing. You know, he just brushed it. If nothing can happen to my brother, he's very powerful. And mother, don't you remember? Just a few days ago, he killed 14,000 Rakshasas single-handedly. This is a trick of the Rakshasas. So Sita, she becomes so concerned about the well-being of her husband that she panics. And in her panic, she becomes reckless in her speech. She starts accusing Lakshman. She says, oh, son of Sumitra, now I know that you're very happy that your brother is in danger because you always coveted me. You wanted to enjoy me. And Lakshman is devastated. He feels so much pain to hear this because he couldn't even imagine what she was suggesting. So he says, you are worshipable deity to me. How can you say this? And then she starts shouting more. She says, I know your intentions. I will never allow them to be fulfilled. She starts speaking very nasty words and Lakshman tells her, stop. He says, I can now see that it is the nature of women like you to be sentimental. And I cannot stay here even one moment because of your harsh words. I will go, but I fear that when I come back, I may not find you. And he goes to look for Ram. And as Ram is running towards Panchavati, they meet on the way. And Ram looks at Lakshman and says, what have you done? Why did you leave Sita alone? I told you to stay there. And then Lakshman explains what happened. Ram gets angry with Lakshman and he starts chastising Lakshman. See, Lakshman was first chastised by Mother Sita. Now he comes here to serve her and Ram also chastises. He could have said, you know, you husband wife are fighting, leave me alone. He could have left and joined some other mutt or other organization. He could have left. But he said no. He was so loyal and dedicated to serving Ram and Mother Sita that he held Ram's hand and he said, no, she will be there, let's go. So then Ram starts running like a madman and all the bushes, the creepers and the thorny bushes, they hit Ram's body. And he comes running to Panchavati and he finds that Ravana had already kidnapped Sita. And he finds some jewels lying, flowers lying, the garland which Sita had worn is scattered. So Ram worst fears come true. So he realizes Sita is not there. So first the Ramayana describes he is quiet. He is worrying what has happened. And then he starts howling and crying like a madman. And he starts saying, "Where is Sita? Sita, Sita." And he goes behind the hut. He runs everywhere. And then suddenly in the midst of all this crying, you know what Ram does? He stops. He stops crying. And then he starts smiling. And then he starts laughing loudly. And he puts his hand on Lakshman's shoulder and he says, "You know, Lakshman, I know this is all Sita playing tricks with me. Because just few days ago, I pretended to be angry with her. And she spent a lot of time cajoling me and appeasing me. And finally, I got appeased. So today, she is taking revenge." And then Ram started, now just a few moments before he was shouting hysterically. And now he starts calling out very lovingly, "Sita, Sita, where are you?" And he starts apologizing like a henpecked husband. And he starts, and then again he sees after some time, no response. So then Ram gets so panicky, again he starts crying loudly. Then he goes to the tree, "Bilva tree, Arjuna tree, Kadamba tree, have you seen my Sita?" He starts asking the sky, the moon, the stars, everyone. He finds, he gets no response. And then he gets so angry. But then what happens, he sees some yellow flowers moving against the wind, because of the wind. So he feels that it's Mother Sita's dress or sari. So immediately he says, "Sita!" Then he says, "Oh, it's just a flower." So like this, there are detailed descriptions of how he would see the trunks of the tree and he would feel it's Sita's limbs. You know, all those descriptions are there. And finally, when he realizes what has happened, he looks at a pair of deer. And this deer, and he grabs them. He says, "Have you seen my Sita?" And both the deers, they turn towards the southern direction. So as soon as they look towards the southern direction, Ram says this is a hint that Sita has gone, been taken on this side. So they run. As they run, after some time they see there's all blood lying and all chariot broken lying. And then Ram realizes that the Rakshasas have devoured my Sita. So he picks up his bow and he picks up his Brahmastra. And he shouts, he says, "None of the deities, none of the gods, nobody protected Sita. They have always seen the good side of Ram. Now they are going to see my anger. I am now going to destroy the whole universe just for his one accident or one kidnapping." He gets so angry that he wants to destroy the whole universe now. So he picks up his bow and arrow and is about to release it. Lakshman stops him. Lakshman says, that, "My dear brother, you can't do that. First, let us try some peaceful means. Let us find out where she is. How, you are a ruler. How can you destroy the universe? And I am telling you all this because you only instructed me in the past." So now Lakshman starts counseling Ram, because these are the instructions that Ram gave to Lakshman earlier, of not being angry, control your anger. So Lakshman says, "I'm sorry, but I have to tell you this. You know, many times as preachers, we are preaching a lot, but sometimes we also need to hear. A doctor also needs to be cured." So Ram is being counseled by Lakshman. And then Lakshman very humbly says, "My dear brother, I am sorry, but this is what you have taught me." But then Ram is pacified. See, Ram's emotional vacuum or emotional anxiety, that is very graphically described in Ramayana. There is no doubt, any Ramayana reader will have no doubt that Ram was very emotional. That is the essence of what I wanted to say. Can you imagine, he wanted to destroy the whole universe? That means Ram would have killed everyone just for his Sita. You know, I was talking to one Grihastha couple, they had some issues and we were discussing, and then I said, "You should go back to your past. You know, the things that made you happy in the initial days, why don't you do them now? Like go out for a..." You were saying a few things that they did. And then when they were talking to me, I told the Mataji that, "You know, what made you marry him? Now you are saying you are so incompatible. And you are saying that you are culturally incompatible. So then what made you marry him 15 years ago? What was it that attracted you to marry him?" And she said something very striking. And that's when I remembered Ramayana. She said, "Prabhu, you know..." And then she looked at him. And he had a half smile in his face. And she said, "Prabhu, you know, he was so nice then." I said, "What do you mean he was so nice then?" she said he was willing. She said, the whole story was he had proposed to her many times and she had refused. Finally, when did she yield? When did she accept him? When she realized that, she said, when I realized that he can die for me. Because when she said that, I remembered Ram who tells Lakshman in the Ramayana that, Lakshman, now you go to Ayodhya. I will stay here and I will give up my life. So I told her that this is what Ram also was doing, wanted to do. He wanted to give up his life. So she said, Prabhu, when I realized that my husband, he is willing to die for me, wow, I felt he is my man. and then not only that, and then in one conversation he got so angry with someone else, so I realized that he can even kill for me. It's not that I want him to kill, but he is my man who is willing to die and kill for me. So I accepted. See, if this is what attracts a woman to her man, so you can imagine what Ram must have been towards Sita. So this was Ram's position. Not only this, now you may say, oh, somebody may go to the other extreme. Oh, Ram was so soft-hearted, so crying. No, Ram was decisive. He had clear thinking. And he was very sharp. And this is proved by the way he dealt with Kara, Dushan, Maricha, Shurpanka. You should see the way Ram dealt with Shurpanka. Very decisive, clear, like when Shurpanka, what happened? When they reached Panchavati, this is a very interesting pastime. When they reached Panchavati, Lakshman made a beautiful hut for Ram and Sita. So when Ram and Sita were staying there, one day Shurpanka was who? She was a sister of Ravan, and she used to eat for breakfast and lunch, she used to eat human beings and rishis. That was her prasad. So she saw Ram's footprints. So she thought, there is a man, human somewhere. I'm hungry. Let me go. Now she was ugly, tall, very misshapen body. Her features were very scary. So she saw Ram's footprints and she came towards the hermitage. And suddenly when she saw, I'm hungry, and she looked at Ram, suddenly her hunger went away and her lust increased. She saw what a personality, Ram's, resplendent form, his beautiful greenish complexion, his handsome features, she was completely blown away. She said, I want to possess him. So immediately, with lust, Cupid's arrow that struck her. So Shurpanka, she changed her form. She assumed the form of a very beautiful woman and she came in front of Ram and she said, oh, handsome one, who are you? What are you doing here? I'm so attracted to you. And you know what Ram says? Ram looks at her and immediately looks at Lakshman. And Lakshman is nearby. See, Ram is here, Lakshman is here, and Sita is here. So it's like, that's how they are standing. That is described in the Ramayana. On the left side of Ram, Lakshman was chopping firewood, and Shurpanka is proposing to Ram. So Lakshman and Ram exchange glances, and Ram smiles. And he tells her that I am Ram, and this is my Lakshman, this is my brother, and this is my wife. And he introduces himself, and then he tells her, but who are you, oh beautiful woman? You seem to me a Rakshasi who is capable of changing forms. Because in this dangerous and lonely forest, what are you doing here alone? Do you have a husband? And now Shurpanka realizes that, oh, this man is very smart. He is able to see through. So she now proposes. How does she propose to Ram? She is not so far proposed, but now she proposes. But in that desperation, because she feels that now he is not attracted to me so much, so she starts using threats. But she also wants to be shy. So what she does, she starts shyly moving her hips and her body and, she very coyly looks down. But in that desperation to get Ram, she gives up her demoness form, beautiful form. And she assumes her demoness form. And in that form, she starts behaving like a very shy woman. So you can imagine how incongruent it is. So Ram starts laughing because, it's because she doesn't realize that her beautiful form is gone. And she tells him that, oh, handsome one, I want to enjoy with you. Come with me. And what are you doing with this skinny and deformed woman? And your brother, I will eat them. And after I eat them, Then I will take you to the top mountains where we can sport and enjoy. And I am, after all, the sister of Ravan. So she thinks, she hopes that at least even if Ram is not attracted to me, at least he will be afraid of me and he will accept my proposal. So when she says this, Ram starts laughing loudly because he finds it so incongruent. Just imagine a demoness. See, generally in the Vedic culture, you know how the literature, the poems explain a woman's accepting the proposal. Like, you know, this is not the way a proposal happens. If you read Kumara Sambhava, Kalidas has written a beautiful poetry on how Mother Parvati accepts the proposal of Lord Shiva. For the devatas go to Mother Parvati and they tell her that, you know, because they want to know whether if she is also interested in Shiva, because they want to get a wife for Lord Shiva. So they start glorifying Lord Shiva's qualities and they ask her if she would like to marry Lord Shiva. And she doesn't say, yes, I want to marry him, I love him. She doesn't say that. In the Vedic poetry, you know, it's considered as very gross if you say, I love you and I want to marry you. The poet would say, speak it a little poetically, you know, be more refined. So what Parvati does is, she starts counting the petals of a lotus and she starts making circles with her toe on the ground. And she starts fiddling with her hair. So when the devatas see that, they get the answer, oh, she loves Lord Shiva. So this is considered as a very feminine gesture of expressing love. So that's what Surpanka was doing. She was doing something mindless. But externally, she was in such a rakshasi form. That's not what these rakshasis are habituated to doing. They are habituated to picking up people and eating them. So Ram found it so funny, he started laughing. But this is what happens, you know, many times we put up an act externally. But at time of provocation, we are not able to sustain that. What is inside, it comes out. Like Surpanka, our Sachinandan Maharaj gives a beautiful example. He says, we have to be careful of how we are living inside, outside. He says, it should be congruent. And he gave a very nice statement which hit me very hard. He said, if our inside is not the same as outside, then one day our inside will take revenge. He says, the inside will come out one day. You know, just like in our base where the boys are staying. One day I was serving sweet rice, prasadam. And this boy was saying, no, Prabhu, I don't eat sweet rice. You know, he was giving an impression that he's very sense-controlled and strong. And just 5 minutes later, everybody took prasadam and the remaining sweet rice I kept it in the refrigerator. And at midnight when I woke up to go to the bathroom, and I saw he had taken the sweet rice from the refrigerator and alone he was eating. So I told him, you're caught. He said, Prabhu, and very sheepishly said, Prabhu, I just wanted to eat so much. I said, it's okay, you enjoy your sweet rice. But you know, sometimes we may present to be something we are not, but the inside eventually takes revenge. So that's what happened with Surpanka. So what happens? Surpanka says this. So Ram starts laughing. And what does Ram tell Surpanka? Look at Ram's presence of mind, sharpness. He tells Surpanka, oh, beautiful one. I'm sorry I'm laughing, but, you know, I can't marry you because I'm already married. But, you know, my brother here, Lakshman, he doesn't have a companion. And I think it will be good if you propose to him. So she's so lusty, she looks at Lakshman, and Lakshman is equally handsome. He's after all Lord Balaram. So she becomes so obsessed, she goes to Lakshman. She says, come, let's sport in the woods. And she just comes near Lakshman, and Lakshman looks at Ram and is immediately able to catch the joke. He's quick-witted. So Lakshman immediately turns to Surpanka and he also starts joking with her. He says, you know, if you marry me, you will have to become a maid servant of Sita. Because I am anyway servant of Ram. So I think you should go back to Ram. He is the one who deserves you. And once he accepts you, don't worry about Sita. Once he accepts you, he will easily discard that forlorn, weak Sita. Don't worry, go to him. And she, at this point of time, Surpanka, although she's very cunning, at this point of time, she's very simple to catch the joke. So she again goes to Ram and then she realizes, oh, these guys are just, you know, they are just joking with me. So she looks at Ram and says, why do you cling on to this ugly woman? She looks at Sita and she says, if she is the one who is coming between you and me, I will devour her now and just see my power. And she runs towards Sita. And this is the moment. Shurpanka is running towards Sita, Ram is sitting here and Lakshman is here. And look at Ram's, the Ramayana describes, Ram thundered. You know what Ram said first thing? He looked at Shurpanka and said, stop! And when he said stop, Shurpanka froze. Because Lord Ram's voice, you know God's voice, Krishna's voice, Rupa Goswami describes in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that 64 qualities of Krishna. You know, one of the qualities of Krishna is, he is very deep. And then Rupa Goswami says, what is deep about Krishna? He says, three things are very deep. He says, Krishna's navel, Krishna's intelligence, and Krishna's voice. It's supposed to be very deep. So in that deep voice, when he told Shurpanka, stop, she just froze. And then he looked at Lakshman and said, Lakshman, it is very clear that we should not have joking words with low-class people. See, we have now put Sita's life in danger. Quickly, punish her, but don't kill her because she is a woman. And Lakshman, in a flash, he just pulls out his sword, he rushes to that spot, and he cuts off Shurpanka's ears and her nose, and with his sword, he throws off the nose. And that nose flies off to the other side of Godavari and falls at a place called where Shurpanka's nose or Nasika fell. That place is called Nasik, Nasik Dham ki Jai. So that's how Nasik got the place. Shurpanka, she saw this, she got so shaken. She realized these two men are very formidable. She ran to her brothers, Kara and Dushan, and she fell before them and she started screaming. And Kara, he looked at his sister, he took it as a personal insult because my sister has been insulted. So he told her that who has done this? So she told him that two humans. So he immediately laughed. Oh, humans? He sent 14 of his most powerful Rakshasas. And Ram, he just released one arrow which became 14 and immediately killed all the 14 Rakshasas. And when she saw that, she was so shaken. And when Maricha heard that this 14 Rakshasas have been killed, he was shocked because if one Rakshasa fights against 14 humans and kills them, that was not surprising. But one human killing 14 Rakshasas? For then Kara, Dushan and Trishira come with an army of 14,000 Rakshasas. And you know what Ram does? He tells Lakshman, when he sees them coming, there's all darkness everywhere. It's a huge army coming. He tells Lakshman that, Lakshman, please take this tender-hearted Sita to a cave in the mountain and protect her while I confront the Rakshasas. And he puts on the golden coat that Agastya Rishi gave him and he puts on those two inexhaustible quivers and is ready to fight. And Lakshman's hands are also itching for a battle because he was waiting for a long time to fight the Rakshasas. But he can't disobey his brother, so he takes Mother Sita away. And when these Rakshasas come, the Valmiki Ramayana describes, there was darkness everywhere, but Ram was standing, it was as if there was bright sunlight amidst darkness all around. So Ram stood and these Rakshasas came from all directions. But look at Ram's prowess and can imagine this is the way he fought. It is said that he was in one spot and he shot arrows and he turned around so fast shooting arrows that the Rakshasas were falling in hundreds and thousands and it appeared to each one of them that Ram was fighting only that Rakshasa. But Ram was turning, he was whirling so fast. Like you know, in India, during summer, we put on these fans. And these fans, they move so fast. It appears as if the fan is stationary. But it's actually moving so fast. Ram was moving and he killed all the Rakshasas. And then finally, Dushana had strength of 10,000 Rakshasas. So basically, they were not 14,000, they were 24,000. And in 2 hours, Ram killed all of them. Trishira was a Rakshasa with the three heads. Ram killed him also. And the final battle was between Kara and Ram. I think all devotees should read this battle. Very beautifully described by our Krishna Dharma Prabhu in his Ramayana. If Valmiki Ramayana is not accessible, Krishna Dharma Prabhu's Ramayana is equally exciting. The way he has described. And what Ram does, Kara has lost everything, but Ram doesn't kill Kara. He allows him to wait. You know, he gives him time to surrender. This is Ram's compassion. Kara, he could have killed him. He says no. And he starts chastising Kara. He says, why don't you give up your low class habits? He instructs him just like a father would chastise his to discipline his child. Similarly, Lord Ram was willing to forgive Kara. He had his arrow ready, but it doesn't kill him. And Kara is so foolish, he realizes that this man has killed the entire army. And now my bow and arrow, everything is gone. Chariot is destroyed. Kara could have surrendered. You know what Kara does? Says to Ram, he says, don't boast. You have just killed ordinary Rakshasas so far. You have not confronted me. And then he picks up a mace. Kara had a very special gada. It is said that this mace had the power to destroy the gates of the heaven. And this one mace could crush an entire army. And when he threw that mace at Ram, as the mace came flying, all the trees on the nearby, they all got burnt to ashes. That was the power of that mace. When that mace came, Ram shot an arrow and it reduced it to ashes. And then again he had an arrow. He could have killed Kara, but he stopped. Again he wanted to give him a chance. And this time Kara said, I will kill you! And he came running towards Ram and he assumed a huge form, and Ram looked at him and smiled, and Ram said, now you will fall on the ground and you will embrace Mother Earth just like a lover embraces his beloved. And then he's about to release the arrow. Kara assumes a huge form and he goes to the sky and he comes falling down at Ram. And Ram waits. And just when he's so close to Ram, Ram releases the arrow. And it creates such an impact on Kara's chest that he's thrown upwards. Gets an anti-gravitational thrust. He gets kicked. He just gets shot upwards. And then there's a big hole in his heart. And then he comes falling down. And that's how he's destroyed. And then immediately after that, Lakshman comes out with Sita. Mother Sita comes running towards Ram. She embraces him. And she runs her soft hands through Ram's body. And heals his wounds. And then they enter the hut. And Ram, because then all the carnivorous beasts and animals and birds, they descend on the battlefield. Because that is their time for super feast now. All the dead bodies are lying. And Lakshman, he never slept 14 years during the exile. He sits with his bow and arrow ready, keeping a lonely vigil. Because it's night time. We don't know, Rakshasas may have some other plans now. So this is how Ramayana describes Ram's chivalry, Ram's bravery. And mixed excellently with this characteristic of soft-heartedness. What a combination, isn't it? So this background was important for us to know, because I know the question still remains. Okay, he loved Sita, but why did he send her away? So therefore, there are three reasons, or three levels to which we understand this. First is called as the Dharma balance. What is Dharma and how we balance the Dharma principle? That is the first reason. Second is a leadership lesson. And third is love in separation. So these are the three reasons. And we will discuss this tomorrow, because now it's 8:45. But at least we have established the premise that Lord Ram was very soft-hearted, sensitive. He loved Mother Sita, and at the same time he was very sharp, intelligent, very powerful. So such a hero, such a man was Ram. Now knowing this, now let us address why he did that. Because this point will be coming up again and again in our discussion. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.